Test, test, test. Can you say something?
Dragon.
Dragon, perfect. Okay, so it was Thanksgiving, so... Okay, all right, I got it. Hi, happy Thanksgiving, Vink.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
Oh, you live in Japan, you don't have Thanksgiving.
No, not really. Gosh, what did I do Thanksgiving? I think I worked till like 11 o'clock at night.
Oh, dear. Well, I worked until noon, so... It's a little
different. I see.
Yeah.
Turkey is not a very common thing here either, so.
Well, neither is Christians landing on the island and being welcomed by the natives.
That's true, but lots of countries have a Thanksgiving.
Okay, like true.
England has a Thanksgiving and Canada has a Thanksgiving. They're different days or something. I think even Japan has one, but like most Japanese holidays, they're mostly thankful that they can go to work more.
That I don't believe that for a second.
No, neither do I.
Oh dear.
But so, I bet they do work on it.
Yes.
They work on Christmas here, so.
Yes. Well, yeah, Christmas isn't really it's more of a lover's holiday as I understand it.
And children's holiday too, but.
Right. So, being neither a lover or a child, the salary man must work, right?
But,
that makes sense.
Sure. But that's probably why that Japan's not getting the Wii U as early as everywhere else.
So Thanksgiving? Oh, yes, because after Thanksgiving is Black Friday.
Black Friday.
For which people line up at least a day beforehand to wait outside in lines like places like Best Buy that might sell things like the Wii U. Except the actual Wii U launch was almost a week earlier, and I didn't see that many lines.
I saw your video.
Ah, yeah, there's a video out there for those who have not seen it yet. About 6 years almost to the day of the Wii launch, the Wii U came out, and we thought that we'd head out and film the lines of people that we were sure were going to be out there, because who's not excited for the Wii U? Well, as we found out.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not in America, so I don't really know the levels of excitement there, but is it really that no one's excited for it, or is it just like that the conditions have changed that people aren't lining up because they think that if they do, they're not going to get one anyway?
I think it's a little bit of both. For sure, for the lack of lines, we actually went into the stores, the ones that were still open anyway, and talked to some of the employees, you know, off the record.
Condition
of anonymity or whatever, you know, we didn't quote anyone, but the general consensus that we got was that they weren't shipping nearly as many units as the Wii launch.
Yeah, it really seems that way. Well, they're trying to do a worldwide launch. To tell you the truth, maybe it's just my own thought, but doesn't the system to you seem a little more Japan focused than some other systems that have come out? You know what I mean?
I don't actually.
Like, I don't know, like, Japan's always been kind of like a haven for portable gaming.
Sure.
Rather than, you know, on the TV console gaming, and, you know, the whole being able to play without the TV thing, and, you know, launching with a 2D Mario at start, not a 3D Mario, a 2D Mario.
Right.
Which have always done way better in Japan than they have. Well, I mean, 2D Mario sells well anywhere, but 3D Mario doesn't sell well in Japan.
I see.
Well, I mean, it's not that it sells terribly, but I mean, like, compared to America.
Well, the one guy we did interview says he was excited for it, mostly, though, because it was his 6-year-old son's favorite game on the Wii. So. But there's also this Skylanders thing, which I didn't know hardly anything about, and it's the comparable to Monster Hunter from what I can tell.
Skylanders? Isn't it like kids like scan thing?
Yeah. Game? Yeah, you have these actual models of the animals.
Okay.
And then you put them on this base that plugs into your console, and it scans in the information about them and then stores the information as well, the battle information, on a chip on each statue, and that's how you play. And then if they're knocked out, like a Pokemon or whatever, then they can't be used for an actual number of days. So it really behooves you to have an actual good physical collection. So you can imagine what a moneymaker this is.
Definitely. Well, how's that like Monster Hunter, though?
It's just popular. It's more like Pokemon, I guess.
Well, I see. So more like Pokemon then, maybe.
Yeah, it's more like Pokemon.
Okay.
But I mean, spend way more money at it than Pokemon.
Yeah. Wow. That's smart.
So while we were out getting Wii U information, Phil was filling me in on the Skylander craze, which I had honestly never heard before until I saw these enormous displays, like bigger than the Wii U displays. Like, honestly.
Well, I've been hearing about Skylanders. I don't think it's a thing in Japan. At least not a big thing in Japan. Right. But we have lots of stuff like that.
Well, I mean, what was interesting to me, though, was that, you know, with the NFC reader on the Wii U gamepad, that it would make sense to me anyway, if it's compatible, that would be a really easy way to do it. But they sell the bases and stuff in the starter kits that you can get for the consoles, so that's not a huge deal, compatibility, I don't think. But the idea, at least, of how that feature could be useful is already being demonstrated through a different product.
Huh. Interesting. We were talking about something very similar to that.
We were, probably. Remind me.
Oh, when we were talking about the NFC reader at the first thing, I said that there'd be trading cards that would have information and stuff in there. And you were like, I don't know if that would work. But you know what? Neither of us knew that it was already happening.
Exactly, so. Yeah. We've done a lot of podcasts about the Wii U between when it was just rumored as like a Wii HD, and then as we saw models popping up at the last two E3s and such, and now we have it in our hands, and I gotta say, I like it.
I do. Here's the weird thing. Like, I've been down on the Wii U for a lot. I really have, you know, but I'm starting to get kind of excited about it. Really? It's not here in Japan yet, and actually, I gotta say, the hype's way less than the Wii here too.
Yeah, you got a couple of weeks yet before it comes out.
Isn't it December 2nd?
I thought it was like the 6th or the 8th or something ridiculous like that.
Gosh, I don't know. December 2nd sticks in my mind, but that might be the last day of pre-orders. I'm not sure. I'll have to check on that. But there's showing. I knew exactly when the Wii was launching, you know?
Right.
The thing is, I don't know if there's really less hype or if it's just that I personally am not as connected to the hype.
No, I think there is actually less hype. And I think one of the reasons might be because last time Nintendo was an underdog, and they kind of still are. But like, no one's hoping that Nintendo will succeed this time. Like, it's like, you know, they've been down so long, and it's time for them to be on top. Like, they still sold better than any other console in the last generation. But, like, you know, then Nintendo had that first quarterly loss in like 6 years, about a year ago.
Yep.
And
longer than that, I think. Yeah.
Well, it was. I thought it was Q4 2011.
No. I mean, like, they hadn't had a loss for like ever. You know, they always made a profit.
Okay.
Like, even during the dark GameCube days.
Interesting. Okay. Well, you know, the 3DS turned that around in the short term, I think, and the Wii U, I hope, continues that trend. Oh, but
gosh, the 3DS is on fire. Yeah, sold the Vita 47-1 last week.
Oh my god! Yeah, people I keep talking to don't realize that the 3DS isn't a failure. They still are like sort of jaded by the price drop in the first place, and it's like, oh, Nintendo doesn't know what they're doing, and they have no idea how well it's doing. They have literally no idea.
Well, you know what? In America, I don't think it's not nearly that.
It's still like, better than the PS Vita in America, right?
Well, yeah, but it's probably like 2-1 in America, or maybe 3-1 or 4-1. You know, like. But, like, it's absolute Nintendo domination in Japan.
Wow. Yeah.
But, oh, man, like, okay, the other day, like, I was taking I'll post this picture on Facebook. That's right, everyone, check our Facebook. But I was out at the park up with my daughter, and there was a group of like 8-9 boys running around with their 3DSs. I don't know if they were taking pictures. I don't know if it was game related or something, but they were like street passing each other by like running around each other in circles. It was really weird.
That's crazy.
But like they just all had their 3DSs, and some of them had the smaller ones and some of them had the bigger ones. But like they were so common and so, but what's weird is then they went to like play on the swings or something, and two of them just left their 3DSs like at the park. Well, wow. They went to the other side of the park. Now, for me, as like, I don't know, a kid who didn't have a lot of money growing up, I'm like, don't leave that. Don't leave that there. Someone will take it. I will take it.
You have one.
I don't have the big one. But anyway, they were just there. I'm not a thieving person, but like those DSs were asking for it.
That's right, boys and girls and parents everywhere. Don't leave your 3DSs around Vink. He might steal them.
But the thing is, I'm like, oh my gosh, I live in Japan. Because to be that trusting, to just leave the hardware on all your, and your, you know, there's games in there and stuff. Yeah. Just to leave it, you know, on a bench at the park, you know. That doesn't happen in America.
No.
Or it doesn't happen for long.
You know, my first week in Japan, my wallet must have fallen out of my pocket or something in a grocery store. I'm not sure what happened. And I went back for it, and there was like a police station not too far away, and they had it, and they were like going through all the stuff, and everything was there. And the woman who brought it in was still at the station. So I just happened to like catch them at the right moment. And, I was being told to thank her, and I kept thanking her, and it was like, thank you. And then they kept indicating, thank her, thank her. I'm like, thank you. And I don't know if they wanted me to like pay her all the money in my wallet as a thank you or what was going on. But
no, that wouldn't have been.
I'm not sure what they were expecting me to do there.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm never really sure what to do in situations like that. You probably should have given her a cake or something.
A foreigner in Japan, no means to, I guess I could have bought her a cake.
Could have bought her a
cake. I was at a grocery store just before that.
And you didn't buy a cake? Oh, you couldn't. You didn't have your wallet.
Exactly.
Catch
22. Oh, dear. Well, you know, if I ever lose my wallet in Japan again, I will make sure. Maybe I'll just do it on purpose just so I can have that experience again.
You should probably have, if you're walking around Japan, you should probably just have a cake. Just in case.
Right.
Now, why I bring up cake is because in one of my very early interactions with Japan, I was standing waiting for a train in kind of a smaller town. And this one lady was like, I don't know, she just asked me a couple questions. She's like, where are you from? I'm like, I'm from America. And she's like, just a minute, wait there. And she like ran away. And I'm like, that was weird. And then she came back and she gave me a cake. And I said, thank you. And then I had a cake. So I'm not sure if what was the trigger. Maybe it was because she asked me where I was from, and I said I was from America, and she's like, oh my, Americans are constantly eating. This man will starve if he doesn't have a cake. I don't know exactly what it was, or just looking at me is like, man, that guy could use a cake. But like, she gave me the cake, and then she wandered off. I don't even know what she was doing at the train station. Probably waiting for a foreigner
to give them a cake. Like, she just bakes cakes every Wednesday. And
you know, so all I can think of is that you probably should have reciprocated. When I got hit by a car, I got a cake too.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
The guy who hit you?
I got two cakes. The larger cake was from the parents of the guy who hit me with the car.
The immediate family gets involved?
Yeah, of course. They came over and they gave me a cake. And then the police department who was investigating the case or whatever lost my paperwork.
Oh my.
So I got an apology cake from the police, too. Apology cake from the police... slightly smaller than the apology cake. Like, I've realized that in Japan, it's only slightly more disrespectful to hit someone with your car than misplace some paperwork.
Well, you got to think, too, that if the police department gave out larger cakes, it would really cut into their budget.
I guess, but...
It occurs to me nowadays, too, that if you had your 3DS on you in all these instances, you could have the cake street pass, and then maybe they could have, like, a cake hat on them, on the Miis, and you could... I don't know.
For a long time, though, so I'm really not sure what the cake situation for the police department is say, Los Angeles.
Well,
I don't know, or I don't know, Medford. I don't know. Give me some cake related trivia for the police department in America.
I don't think they deal in cakes in America.
Obama's America. Okay, sorry.
Well, that happens too. Yeah. The street pass thing is interesting because, like, in the aforementioned Wii U video, Phil carried his around. Sure, he was going to, like, get lots and lots of people with street passes, and like, conventions are a good place to do that because it's full of the kind of person that would actually know what street pass is and set theirs up properly. But we met all of two people, and neither one of them appeared to know or care about the street pass feature and did not set it up properly.
Yeah, you know, there's the difference. You know how I get how I fill up my street pass queue? Just walk anywhere. It's crazy in Japan. If I go to work or if I go to school, just the going anywhere, I'll fill up my 10.
Yeah. Wow.
It's the supermarket. In America, if you want to fill up your street pass, you got to go somewhere kind of geeky.
Yep. Well, one such place is Midwest Gaming Classic. I'm actually talking to one of the organizers right now to help out with one of their areas. So that's developing.
You need to get a 3DS before that point.
Oh, totally. I'm hoping to have at least a Wii U by then, and maybe the 3DS. Well, we got like 4 months or so before that's ready to go. But I should also have some interesting things I could bring. Like, I guess we'll just wait until it arrives. I can surprise everyone. Or maybe we'll just do a quick little video about it before the event happens. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But yeah, so if you go to that's in Brookfield, I think, in Wisconsin, for anyone who wants to show up and see some retro gaming awesomeness. I almost insulted Tommy Tallarico to his back. Wait, this is already in the podcast, but... anyway.
So, okay... I'm a little jealous of you because you actually got to play with the Wii U.
Yes.
What's your initial impression of that?
So I didn't get to play with the Mii Plaza very much. I was there while Phil was setting up his character, and just having used a 3DS before, I was very familiar with the process because, you know, like, the 3DS has the camera on it and it takes a picture of your face and it tries to extrapolate the best it can your features to its predefined set of. Eyes, ears, nose, and mouth, and such. And so the process was virtually identical for the Wii U. So like a lot of those basic user features were like kind of test driven for the 3DS. So those will be familiar for anyone who's used it before. The gameplay itself, we just had Nintendo Land, and I was impressed by the fact that it could do like 4-player split screen and run, full motion video on the gamepad as well. I mean, in our case, we only had three-way split screen, but there was a fourth blank spot. You'll see it in the video if you watch it.
Don't believe you, though.
You don't believe me?
Oh, because the internet told me it was way underpowered and looks like crap.
Okay, right. So there is a story going around about THQ. One of the devs said that they will not program for the console.
The experts at THQ. Has THQ ever led anybody wrong about anything?
THQ puts out such quality games, I would never doubt their word about anything.
You know, I didn't care much about brand when I was a kid. Oh, I rented bad games. Oh. but there was pretty much determined in advance that if the game had a THQ label on it, it was going to be a really horrible game. And I don't think that's really changed so much.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
think of a THQ game.
Okay.
I kind of liked their Conan game. It was okay because it had the girl from Farscape as a voice actress.
Claudia Black?
Yeah, Claudia Black.
She's the only one I can think of who's been doing voice acting, so.
Yep, she was in that. I don't remember if the game was any good, but I was very happy to hear Claudia Black's voice.
Oh, man. Well, she was in Dragon Age and Mass Effect 2, and those were really good games. So.
Well, so hats off, THQ. I will trust you if you're doing a panel on voice acting in games. But
oh dear.
But
well, it's not just THQ. So there's a side by side that Eurogamer did of the Black Ops 360 version and the Wii U version, Black Ops 2, I guess.
I mean, Eurogamer reported it, but I think it was done by Digital Foundry or something.
Okay.
Or
yeah, you're right. Yeah, they did that. But so like, as far as the capabilities are concerned, they're identical and better than the PS3, but I guess the frame rate suffers more than the PS3 version?
Here's what I've been hearing. I hear that the RAM, which is a larger capacity, let's see, what is it? On an Xbox 360, it's 512 meg, and it's three comparable to that. And it's 2 gigs on the Wii, but only 1 gig is available for games. Right. The other, it's entirely for OS.
Right.
Which, you know, I mean, that it's a lot more than the other consoles, but what I hear is that the RAM is slower.
Could be. Yeah.
Like its read speed is like around 40% slower. So it's creating kind of a bottleneck. Now theoretically, the Wii U makes up for it by having a much faster GPU with built-in shaders and blah, blah, blah,
oh
blah,
my
blah,
God.
Blah, blah.
Somp code monkey talk.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no one gets that reference yet.
Yeah, we didn't put that video up yet.
Oh, man.
I mean, what video?
What video?
Do we make videos? Okay.
We made one last week.
Okay. But so theoretically, it could make up with that for that, and we could have some really, really amazing games. But what worries me is it means that porting games that's made on an engine that's not designed different. Also, the CPU is probably comparable or lower than the Xbox 360 CPU.
Yeah, and that's a big problem for things like enemy AI and any other thing that's not like graphics intensive, like it's, you know, logic intensive, CPU intensive. That's bad news.
Like, it should still be able to pump up some incredible graphics, and it should be able to make some really good games, but I'm thinking that any game that's not made exclusively for it is going to be kind of a cruddy downport. Do you know what I mean?
Well, it's not that bad. Like, you know, in this specific instance, it's just a frame rate issue. But, you know, otherwise it looks good, right? So,
and as developers get more used to the system... But the thing is, what they're going to need to do is they're going to need to remake the engines to make them less CPU hungry and more GPU, you know?
Right. Assuming that trade-off is even possible in a lot of cases.
It depends on the type of game, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think ideally in a next-gen system, you don't want to have those kinds of problems. You want it to be able to do at least as much as the previous generation could do. And it sounds like it's having a hard time keeping up with the previous generation in those respects. So, the ports are happening. Like, you know, I mentioned Black Ops 2. They bring in Mass Effect 3. They bring in, you know, like a Batman Arkham City Armored Edition.
Which apparently is crap on the Wii U.
Is it really?
I mean, for frame rate.
Oh.
However, some titles... some multi-platform titles take advantage of Sonic Racing Transformed and Darksiders 2 are as good or better than the others. But you don't hear about that. That doesn't really make a news story.
Interesting. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, well, I know Phil said that he wants the Wii U to be his new, like, automatically, if there's a game that's multi-platform, he'll buy it for the Wii U, is his stance right now. I'm wondering...
Take Sonic Racing.
Yeah.
Wii U features that others don't. It has the four-player split screen plus a fifth screen.
Yeah.
On your pad.
Yep.
So you have you can have five-player races on one TV. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yep.
But like, and there's lots of, and apparently the second screen adds something to the, what is it? Alien game? Is it Alien? Is it something Marine? Something.
I don't something, know.
But, okay, here's my thought, and this is not a mainstream view, but bear with me a bit. The fact that the Wii U is, it makes it hard to get the multi-platform games, makes it more of an appealing system to me.
Yeah, you've mentioned this before in other contexts related to the failed consoles episode.
But like,
so that doesn't bode well for the Wii U.
It doesn't bode well for the Wii U unless Nintendo's can start pumping out content for it. You know what I mean? And yeah. Working up exclusive deals. For example, yeah. In Japan, Wii U may not set the world on fire. I think it's not going to sell as well as the Wii. But I think it definitely has. It's gonna make itself, relevant because it has Dragon Quest X.
Mm-hmm.
It's got Monster Hunter
mm-hmm.
on, you know, for the system. It's basically just an HD up port of the 3DS game, but it looks good, and people will buy it and play it.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it looks good. Like, you know, it's HD right off the bat, and. It just made me realize it didn't bother me at the time because I didn't have an HDTV when I had my 360 and my Wii. And then when I did get that TV, the differences became a lot more apparent. I could see the aliasing on the Wii almost immediately running on the HDTV. And then, of course, my launch system, which eventually has died, had a lot of artifacting because it had that GPU problem a lot of the system early systems had. That it overheated and had a lot of problems. So, but now it's totally dead. So it hardly matters. And if I want to get my stuff, that's a separate subject. The whole Wii transfer thing. I'll tackle that in a minute. But seeing Nintendo stuff in HD was definitely very, very nice. You know, in a kind of it's about time kind of way.
I hear the Wii HD, the Wii transfer has Pikmin in it. Is that true?
That is true.
Okay, I don't give away too much because I know you're working on something there.
Yep. We'll try and do a little video that throws it all together. It's relatively straightforward, but you do need an SD card, and both systems have to be on at once, which means they both have to be attached to your TV in some fashion.
Oh, I'm hearing you mention SD. I know you're talking about an SD card, but you want to hear something kind of funny, ironic?
Sure.
Apparently, the Wii U has a hard time supporting old TVs.
That doesn't surprise me.
In other words, a TV that doesn't have HDMI, they're noticing that if you hook it up through, you know, the old cables or whatever, some of the games are like part of the screen's cut off on the sides.
Really?
Like you know when you hook up remember when you hook up Super Mario Brothers to an HD TV, you see kind of the stuff that you're not supposed to see on the side of the screen.
Right, because they're expecting the view safe area to be covered up by the paneling on the television or whatever, yeah.
The system tries to use every single pixel. Mm-hmm. So basically, what's happening is if you are hooking it up through a CRT television, the Wii is trying to use every single pixel, but a lot of those pixels are hidden by the side of the screen. A lot of the HUD, you know, the display elements are being are off screen.
Honestly, I don't know if that's a problem exclusively with the Wii. I would think that any games that are programmed to be HD first and foremost would have that issue. Like I played Mass Effect for the first couple of months on a CRT, and I couldn't read any of the text because they just did not make the game scale up the font.
Oh, but the internet already has backlash. They're like, Nintendo doesn't care about gamers. And I'm like, okay, for 6 years, all gamers have been going is, Nintendo won't support HD, Nintendo won't support HD, they're trapped in the past. And now all of a sudden it's like, Nintendo won't support ST. it's like Nintendo can't cut a break at all. It's
right. Yeah, I know. It's. I'm not sure what it is. I know the PowerCast did something about the Wii U that was supposed to come out on Thanksgiving Day, but it came out over the weekend, so I haven't like gotten a chance to listen to it yet. So I have no idea if like repeating things that they were saying, but I know like Zach's stance is that he loves Nintendo but doesn't want to have to support multiple systems to play their games. So it's like a lot of the hostility, I think, has to do with, it's like, you know, I want to play this other stuff on this other system that I know supports the games I like, but then I also have to buy Nintendo stuff. And people are sort of resisting the idea that that might actually happen this generation.
Yep.
It seems to me, anyway.
I don't know though. It just makes it funny. It's just funny for me because one of the best comments I read about that thing was like, Nintendo doesn't care about gamers. He's now gamers who travel to the future to pick up the system won't be able to play it on their old TV.
Oh my god. I don't care if I play it on my old TV. I have my old TV as my old systems. It's fine. Whatever.
6 years ago when the Wii came. 7 years? 6 years?
Six years ago.
Wii came out, said, the customers don't need an HD system because most people don't have HD TVs.
At the time, and it was true.
It was saying almost everybody has HD. So the only cable they include with the thing is the HDMI cable.
Right. That is super weird. And that's especially weird for like the retailers because that's like one of their easy markup items because, you know, you can get them for like $2 on Amazon or something, like 99 cents. But like stores charge $50 for those things. And they have like Wii U branded HDMI cables on the shelves for some reason, even though both consoles come with HDMI cables.
What's crazy is the consoles that have been pushing HD forever, HD Twins as it is, are still coming with composite.
Yeah.
The Xbox Elite or one of those. One of them, but not anymore even. But like for a while, one of the Xbox had an HDMI cable in. As Nintendo's like, fine, okay.
Yeah.
HD, here's HD. Here's all HD. And all of a sudden it's like, but what about SD?
Well, here's my problem, right? Is I'm running out of HDMI ports on my TV. I'm going to have to buy a Switch.
Third world problems.
Right. Like my surround sound system has the ports for it. Yeah. So it can act as a Switch for at least two of them, but it doesn't process the sound independently. It doesn't like intercept the sound signal. So I have to like route it back from the TV to the sound system. It's ridiculous.
All in all, just big problem with the Wii U that I foresee in the future, though. If people are hoping to buy it as a one console to rule them all, you know? And that's the thing. If Wii U had a lot of power and could do multi-platform easy, you know, it could be people's one and only console. But I'm worried and ecstatic at the same time that Nintendo's made its Dreamcast.
I wish you hadn't said that because I don't want to admit it, but I see some of the same kind of signposts.
But I don't think it's going to fail. And Nintendo's got the money that even if it does, it's not going to be the end of the company like it was.
Right, that's on the system at a loss, which you can tell from the launch prices. You know, the 3DS is doing phenomenally well, and Sega didn't have anything like that to shore them up.
Yeah. But I mean that in the way that, like, coming up, like, when the Dreamcast first came out, the games looked just slightly better than PlayStation, except for things like Soul Calibur, which was amazing and still looks amazing.
Yep.
But, you know, it wasn't the massive jump. It was a jump, definitely. Definitely. Like, Mario 64 to Sonic Adventure, you know, you could definitely tell that it was a jump. But, like, you know, it wasn't quite up there with, like, the Xbox.
Right.
So when those systems came out, the GameCube and I think Dreamcast was pretty much done before Dreamcast was already announced as ending before the GameCube.
Yeah, because the PS2 came out in 2000, which was about a year after the Dreamcast, and that's what killed it, I think, is that the PS2 was just so much better. It had the DVD playback capability, which was going to end up pushing the system a lot for people who just didn't have DVD players yet.
Yep, but I mean, when the Dreamcast came out, it got up ports of all the good games, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, stuff like that. Best that you could buy was on the Dreamcast. And I think for once developers kind of figure out the Wii U's architecture, for a while, the best version of multi-platform games, could be, for Wii U.
Yeah, for a while. I mean, I'm hearing rumors like Mass Effect 4 is going to be like a next-gen title.
Yep. That's the thing, though. When the next-gen comes out, though, the 1 gig of RAM, which is about, by normal standards, probably they're going to have way more RAM, be a lot faster. Like, right now, it's debatable that the Wii U is either equal to or slightly above the other consoles. I guess, remember when the Wii came out and people said, well, among other things, that it was kind of a souped-up Xbox?
Right.
I think the Wii U is a souped-up Xbox 360.
If you can even assume it's that much, if you believe the other stories. But yeah, and that didn't kill Nintendo last generation. It probably won't kill them this generation.
It's the same with the Wii, though. Like, there's still things that the original Xbox could do that the Wii couldn't. For example, the original Xbox could output to HD.
Right, yeah.
Stuff like that, and it had more, and it had a faster processor, I think, than the Wii. But like in the end, the Wii turned out to be, God, a souped-up Xbox. Now that I think about it, it made amazing games. Like,
but it was still enough to make it enormously profitable, even if it didn't appeal to gamers like you and me. And let's face it, we're getting older. By the time the next generation comes out, we're going to be in our 40s, probably.
Oh my!
Just saying.
By the time the next generation comes, it's probably not going to be me, but rather my children deciding which console we get.
Exactly. And that's kind of how I feel about the Wii U right now. Is that this really isn't my system so much? It's probably going to be my kids' system.
Huh. Here's something interesting, and you probably haven't been playing with the Miiverse yet.
No, not yet.
But apparently it's the nicest, like, message board social medium you could possibly want, and one that you could actually let your kids use.
That is the thing I think is going to really set it apart from the other, unless they emulate this like the Xbox did with, the Kinect and the avatars and whatnot. Is I've been hearing people saying this is the killer app, is this social media stuff.
I really think so. Now here's the part that's controversial. The reason it's so nice is because it's, first of all, probably because early adopters are not punk kids. That's right. Probably one. But number two is it's heavily moderated.
Oh, is it?
Heavily moderated, yes. So, like, anybody can flag any post, and you can spoiler tag things.
Yeah, oh my gosh, yeah, there's, like, I actually flag it for spoilers. That's hilarious.
Because there's games that, like, if you can't get past a certain point after so many tries, they'll take you to the Miiverse.
Interesting.
But if you have it listed, don't show me spoilers, you won't get a game part ruined for you.
That's really cool.
It's pretty much eliminated the need for strategy guides and game facts in one
fell. Oh, no. Yeah, I thought the HDMI thing was bad. This is even worse. You're going to crowdsource your answers? Oh. Wow. That's huge.
Apparently the community is like... I would like to assume that the commenting, I've seen it myself, but the way people describe it makes it sound like the commenting on our podcasts.
Really? Well, that's good. I like the commenting on our podcasts.
People occasionally tell us we're wrong about something, but nobody rude or nasty to us.
That's because any rude or nasty comments probably get deleted in the Miiverse, whereas they just don't make them on our... Yeah.
whole world. But in the Miiverse, yeah, they, but apparently, like, lists that a comment has been deleted, and apparently not even a lot of comments have been deleted. I guess Nintendo fans have are new to this whole social media thing because we've never really had a console that was had any true online. So
yeah, that's one of the big changes too. It's like, you know, the graphics, if the graphics aren't going to be like good overall, they're at least good for Nintendo. And I think that the updates to like the whole Nintendo Network, while maybe not comparable to Xbox Live, still is still really good for Nintendo. And the fact that you can port this ID theoretically from console to console is fantastic. Although, caveat, I hear that if you set up a network ID on a Wii U, that any stuff that you get for it and do with it is still tied to that console specifically, which is kind of annoying. I haven't been able to test this assertion so far.
It's nice to hear that content like the old, like the Wii content or the downloadable content is able to be transferred. I was really worried that they were just going to be like, I don't know, use your old content, use your old Wii, you know?
Right. No, it's really comparable to the Xbox reauthorization, except you can do that once a year. In this case, you can only do it once from your Wii.
Yeah.
And anything that's not on the system memory, the 512 you have available, you have to download again. If it's like on your SD card or whatever. But that's not too different than what the Xbox has to do. It essentially runs an emulated Wii inside the Wii U to get to that stuff.
Is it an emulated one or is it actual hardware like the GameCube emulation on the Wii was actually, they had a second.
Sure. Yeah. I'm not really sure, but it goes into like the Wii system menu like it would on a Wii. And that's how you still get to all that content.
GameCube. You couldn't save your GameCube games to Wii memory or anything. It's basically.
Right. Yes. So you'll be able to use like the Wii remotes, obviously. And it looks like, at least from the graphics, because I don't have access to one, you can use the Pro Controller as well if you don't want to use like the classic controller and whatever, which is great for me because I would love to use the GameCube controllers on my Wii. And that is the only reason I would not get rid of my Wii. But if that's the case, I can buy Pro Controllers and use them, and they're just as comfortable as GameCube ones. I might never play my Wii again.
Well, I mean, for me, having a Wii U means you have a Wii, basically.
It does.
I mean, you know, it's just like, since I got my Wii, I'm trying to think of if I've... No, I haven't used my GameCube at all.
Really?
No reason.
Yeah, the only thing that would stop me from going back to my GameCube to play that stuff is I don't have a component cable for it, and they're very hard to find.
But no, like when I got my Wii, it completely replaced my GameCube. Other than I keep it around because I really like the aesthetics of it.
Sure.
But like, there's no reason to play a game on it.
I suppose not.
Because I, you know, the Wii emulates it almost exactly. To do the GameCube menu secrets. They have taken you. The Wii emulation of GameCube or the Wii implementation of GameCube does not have the menu secrets.
Ah, right. It wouldn't.
I
just think in general that this stands the best chance of being my favorite Nintendo system since the GameCube. I really feel that right now. I mean, I haven't played much of it lately, but it just feels right. Like they've hit something that I don't feel like any other console is doing right now, for sure.
I think that there have been some amazing games that came out of the last generation, and I will admit of losing my enthusiasm for the Wii during the trailing days, although Last Story has been really fun, and if I ever get around to playing the Xenoblade that I finally got, thank you very much, Sean.
Oh, you got it, great.
Yep. If I hear that that's one of the best RPGs of this generation, you know, still, like... I mean, my enthusiasm for the Wii went down, but I mean, still probably most of my favorite games from this generation are on the Wii. Now I have a PS3, but I don't know, when I think back on this generation, like this previous console generation, for me it's defined by like the Wii. because that's the one everyone's going to remember. You know what I mean?
See, I had a different experience, though, is that in 2007, there was this, just this perfect storm of killer apps for me for the 360. I think Halo 3 came out, Mass Effect came out, Rock Band, and Katamari. I throw them in there because, you know, there was no Katamari for the Wii. But those other three games, like, really just tore my focus away from the Wii for the rest of this cycle.
That's fine. Just like how the people who grew up as Master System kids can list Phantasy Star and all these wonderful games that were just amazing at the time. But you're not going to change the fact that it was the NES generation.
I don't know. My 360 has, like, been my home console, not just for gaming, but for other non-gaming things. Like, I'll stream video from my computer to it.
Okay. And that's fine. You're a hardcore gamer, you know?
I am the hardest of the cores or something. But that's the thing, though. Nintendo's catching up. Like, you do a system update, the Wii U has Netflix and YouTube and Hulu Plus on there to go, just ready.
Wii. I mean,
what's that?
What is the Wii?
Not when it first launched.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
I mean, you can get that stuff later, but, like, you know, you have your Wii U, you do your first system update, it's all there. You just got to use it. And from what Phil was telling me, the 360 interface for the Netflix has changed in such a way that, like, he's trying to, like, go through Star Trek right now. So it's like watching Deep Space Nine and Voyager alternating. And so, like, normally what it'll do is it'll go into, like, the last 30 seconds or so of, like, the credits, and then it'll bring up this, you know, coming up next thing that's super annoying, and it'll go into the next episode before the credits even finish rolling. And he doesn't want that to happen because he wants to go out to the next series and flip back and forth. I guess the Wii U doesn't do that, and it's really ideal for the way he wants to watch Netflix. Not only that, but if someone else is using the TV, you can still watch Netflix by streaming it to the gamepad screen and plug your headphones in and do your thing, or you can just watch it on your 3DS. So Nintendo's all over this like home entertainment system idea that Microsoft was really pushing hardcore for the last generation, and that we picked up on, but they couldn't do HD, and now they're running with it. And I think it's going to be my centerpiece of my home entertainment system when I get one.
Yeah, that's the thing. I use my PlayStation 3 for watching Hulu and streaming video for my computer and stuff like that, probably at a ratio of 10-1 for the amount of actual games I played on it. Oh,
yeah.
And Blu-ray.
Yeah, I won't even have games for the Wii U itself, I don't think, right away. I'll just use it for Hulu and for Netflix.
I'm looking forward to it, but I can't let this thing go. Last generation was definitely defined by the Wii.
If you say so, I disagree.
Okay. Let's go through these.
Okay.
From our console generations. I mean, there was the I think first generation is before cartridges, right? That's like Pong machines. I don't know. I don't.
Sure.
The exact distinctions, but okay. After that,
second generation would be like Atari and such, I guess. ColecoVision.
The Intellivision. Yeah. I was an Intellivision kid. I loved it. My aunt and uncle had one. I'd go over and play it, and it looked so much better than Atari. But tell me that Intellivision was the defining console of that generation.
It wasn't.
No, it was definitely the 2600, the Atari VCS system. Okay, next generation, we're going to go with NES, right?
Yep.
Okay. Now it gets sticky in the next generation.
this is like the central tenet of our season 2 videos is, you know, what the console was really all about. And like a lot of these other consoles that weren't Nintendo consoles came in way before the Super Nintendo and Super Famicom ever did.
Okay. For Japan, I'll say Super Famicom.
Uh-huh.
For America, as much as it eventually outsold it,
right,
I'd say the defining console was the Genesis.
I can agree with that.
Because it changed the game. It changed what people were looking for in a console.
It literally brought Nintendo to suit, and they lost.
It made gaming something that wasn't just a toy anymore,
yep.
You know?
Yep.
The next generation loved it. The N64 as well, but it was the PlayStation generation.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt about that. You know, it's when the kids who used to beat me up in the playground decided that they were going to play games too, as Penny Arcade Elephant.
Yep.
You know, and I felt I had, because I'm like, no, games are my thing. But okay, next generation. I love the Dreamcast.
Mm-hmm.
That's my pick. And the Xbox made a gallant effort.
Yep.
And the game was a wonderful system, yep. But it was the PlayStation 2 generation.
It totally was. And like, even though I can easily list my favorite games were all for the GameCube, and I liked the PlayStation 2 and I have games for it, there aren't a lot of games for the PS2 that I love. But absolutely, they were the leaders in that generation, regardless.
Now, the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360 are evolutionary systems, but they weren't revolutionary systems.
How do you mean?
The Xbox 360 was a much better Xbox, you know, and the PlayStation 3 was a much better PlayStation 2.
Well, the PS2 was a much better PlayStation, and that was still the console leader of that generation.
DVD on a console, I think, is a bigger breakthrough than Blu-ray on a console.
Yeah, I can give you that.
You know, and like, the Xbox 360 didn't even have Blu-ray, you know?
Right.
Xbox 360, if we're defining generations by technological leaps, you know, then the Wii doesn't win it. But like, when people think video game, last generation, I think, you know, just because of the casual market, the mainstream appeal, Wii Fit, Wii Sports, you know, when a sitcom wanted to show a video game being played, they were always putting on Wii Tennis and stuff, you know?
Yeah, and they were showing like the Wiis being in the old folks' homes and stuff. Like, lots of people who didn't consider themselves gamers suddenly found themselves to be one because of the system that, you know, the hardcore were turning up their nose at, but it was still taking the world by storm and still sold the best out of any other ones out there. So I'm seeing merit to your argument.
I'm not talking about power. I'm not talking about sales, but like, they something that both of the competitors tried to emulate afterwards.
That's very true. That's very true.
Right. Kinect. Mm-hmm. The PS3 tried the Move.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they could tell this was the next big thing. You know, I think Nintendo really ushered it. I don't know. Even as I say this, I'm thinking maybe the 360.
Okay, but now you kind of pulled me towards your side a bit more because you're right. There are lots of people. I don't think the people got the 360, many of them, not nearly as many of them got it as their first system compared to the Wii. I think that's almost a given fact, just because of the sales alone. But
I think when people look back on this generation, people who are already gamers are going to have fond memories of the 360. But as a general thing, I think that the system most remembered by people will be that weird flailing around waggle Wii, you know?
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, you know, and that's how the generation started for me, but that's like not even halfway through. The 360 took it over for me.
But, I mean, I don't know. I really think that the thing that might possibly put the, maybe not over the Wii, but on a comparable level, would be the implementation of Live with Xbox. Really, kind of.
Oh yeah.
Really is that's kind of a game changer. But the PlayStation 3, which is the one I chose, by the way, I'm not dissing it. It's the one I have in my living room right now, hooked up, whereas my Wii isn't even. But
whoa.
But like, I don't think that brought anything new to the table at all.
Yeah, it really didn't. Like, it was behind on so many things. The PlayStation Network, and then like there's like a Plus version too, I guess, that I'm not really familiar with.
PlayStation Home?
Yeah, Home. Is that still a thing?
I don't know.
Well, isn't this Plus program or something that's going on too? I don't really know. This is just like this mishmash of things trying to catch up to the 360 and Live and all that I don't feel really ever got fully fleshed out and weren't terribly well received by PlayStation 3 owners.
PlayStation Plus is cool. If I had a way to do it with a Japanese credit card, I'd subscribe to it because it basically gives you an instant game library. There's like month old titles and stuff. It's really
okay.
I mean, but it's a kind of a too little too late thing. Like if they would have started with that leading off from the beginning, that would have been pretty cool. But like, I know a lot of PlayStation 3 fans, there's been a lot of good games for the PlayStation 3. Some of my, I said most of my favorite games for the generation were for the Wii. The rest were PlayStation 3, like Valkyria Chronicles and things like that. There's a lot of good things, but there's nothing game changing about the PS3.
Right. Well, I mean, to that end, I don't think there's anything game changing about the Wii U either. I think it's going to carve out its niche. I think the biggest problems are going to be in third-party support, but I really think that it has a really strong start with we have the gamepad and we have the social media stuff, which are two things that maybe they can do that with the social media stuff with like Live eventually because it's an updatable system, but the gamepad is going to be a hard one to emulate, I think.
Well, who knows? I mean, the other systems haven't been revealed yet. I mean, they might, like, already Microsoft is trying to use the second screen? No, smart.
The smart glass thing, though, I mean, you need to have this other multi-hundred-dollar piece of hardware, and there's going to be fragmentation. So unless they release the next system with some kind of low-priced default that you can use, I can't see that catching on well enough to be a competitor.
And then, I mean, it sounds comical to think of now, but I mean, back when it seemed like a viable platform, there was the possibility of the Vita being the second screen for the PlayStation 3. You know, 'cause it's a touch screen thing, you know? Way better display than the Wii U gamepad, but it has lag, it has latency.
See, Nintendo's been trying something like this, since the GameCube and the Game Boy Advance. There wasn't hardly anything between the Wii and the DS, unfortunately, but now they can start porting not 3DS games, but like, you know, DS games to the Wii U. And I guess if they want to start handing out glasses, they could do 3DS games too.
Well, there were limited things with the Wii and the DS. Echoes of Time, Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, Echoes of Time. You could do multiplayer, one person on the DS, one person on the Wii.
I guess.
Okay, I guess, yeah, that's not really a big thing, but... And you can download demos from Wii to the 3DS, right?
That's true. I think so, yeah. But I've never used that feature.
Oh my gosh. I don't, like, right now, as I say it, I'm like, did I do that? I think I did that.
I've never done that. I've literally never done that.
It's really a big thing. But,
Well, I'm curious if anyone out there has gotten a Wii U yet, or if they intend to, or if there's kind of like a wait and see pattern. Because if you didn't get one at launch and didn't pre-order one, you're probably not going to get one this year, from what I understand.
I'm going to buy one in September.
Okay, next year.
Well, because Nintendo, this is where you. I've been very nice to you this podcast, Nintendo. Nintendo, I know you're listening right now, so I'm going to speak.
Yeah, listen up.
Nintendo, I've been very nice to this podcast. I know lately we've had our differences, and I've criticized you a lot. But I'm mostly on your side this podcast. But there's one thing, there's still the deal breaker we have. It's that region coding.
It's not going to happen, dude. I'm sorry. It's just not going to happen.
I'm talking to Nintendo right now.
I'm sorry.
Nintendo, you released some patch or something that allows me to play some American games on a Japanese system, and today I will buy a Wii U. Well,
wow. I see. I see what you did there.
It's not out. But
here's a potential bright spot, right? The Wii U doesn't quite use Blu-ray, but it's still some high definition optical disc format. Blu-ray regions, I believe that Japan and the US are in the same region.
We're number one.
Yeah. So it's potentially possible if they follow a similar trend with the games that might occur as well. But I mean, just going from the 3DS, and how region locked that thing is now, I sincerely doubt it's going to happen.
So it doesn't really matter. But like, Nintendo, this has got to stop now. Because if you had released this console at $200, I would buy two. I bought two Wiis. They sit side by side. Everyone thinks I'm an idiot.
I don't think you're an idiot, Vink.
But like, people come over to my house and I got to hide one of the Wiis. I'm like, oh my God, someone's coming over. Got to hide one of the Wiis. Because if they see two Wiis, they're like, oh man, this guy's a total otaku. I cannot be friends with someone who has two Wiis side by side, you know? One Wii, it's like, oh wow, I bet he has Wii Sports. That'd be fun. We should play that, you know? But two Wiis, it's like, something's wrong with that guy.
Are you kidding me? I thought it was every guy's going to have two Wiis. Anyways, okay.
I can't do it this time. I'm not going to buy two systems. Okay. And I really am hoping that there's something really nice for Monolith this time. You know, maybe some follow-up to Xenoblade or something. But I'd like to play some RPGs. And for the casual party games, I think I can, even with my Japanese friends, would be able to go through those in English. So,
sure.
I was able to justify buying the two Wiis because it was cheaper, and you know, but I can't pay $700 to have two Wii U's. I just can't do that, Nintendo.
That's okay. Some people are gonna inevitably tell you that they're waiting for the price drop.
Oh yeah. I don't think it's an unreasonable price.
I don't think it's gonna happen, honestly. Not for a long time.
Nintendo's not making a profit on the system now. It's the first time. Second, tell me the first one. Come on, you know this.
Nope.
It's the 3DS.
Ah. No, I thought when they cut the price, they were still making a little bit of a profit on it.
Well, it's debatable. Okay. Maybe a tiny profit, but like it's the closest they've ever come. If they are making a profit, it was like razor thin, you know?
Sure.
But they were making a profit off it when they released it, obviously, but they weren't selling any, so. But the Wii U, Reggie said in an interview that if someone buys the Wii U and a game, then they're making a profit.
Okay.
So it's almost.
Does that count when you get the bundle? I guess so. Yeah, no one's buying the white ones. Like I was in Best Buy on Black Friday to buy my mother-in-law a laptop, and all the black ones were gone. All the white ones were still in stock.
Why would you buy a white one?
I don't know. It's the first time Nintendo's ever like had that like different models at once in a store. And I think that was a huge mistake. Honestly, they should have just had the one. I know they're trying to hit those people with a slightly lower price point, but in America, the difference is $50. It's not a big enough difference.
Well, it's $50 and what? The American one comes with a game, right?
Yeah, it comes with Nintendo Land, and you know, there's smaller things like the 10% back on the digital purchases and stuff. You know, there's day one full digital downloads in the shop. You know, so you don't have to buy a disc ever again if you don't want to. Of course, you only have 32 gigabytes of storage internally, so you're going to have like a hard drive or whatever, but still.
Well, if you get the black one, though, you've got 32 gigs of available storage.
Yeah, I just said that.
Did you? I thought you said two. What am I?
32.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway. But yeah, with the 8, like, just the OS takes up like 2 gigs. So, like...
Right.
I don't know why anybody would buy the GIMP system. Just like when the PlayStation 3 came out, everyone said PlayStation 3 cost $600. But it didn't. It cost... At a minimum, it cost $400, but nobody wanted GIMPed system, you know?
Oh, exactly. And that's proving to be the case right now. And maybe the stores can do bundles, I guess, but no one's going to want them. No one's going to, like, people realize the value, I think, of the black system.
Yeah, I think so. It works for iPads and iPods to have a cheap kind of GIMPed one because Because not everybody has that same need, you know.
It's not feature incomplete either. Like, you know, you get a smaller iPod, it just has a smaller memory. That's it. That's the only difference. Difference in the case of the Wii U.
Yeah, it is.
It isn't, yeah. Because there's the 10% back in digital purchase. This is all like the charge cradle and stuff that I don't think is sold separately right now.
No, not yet. But you don't need those to play games. But the thing is, like, a Blu-ray can hold 25 gigs of data. So theoretically,
right? You know. Unlike an iPod, you're not going to buy another Wii U in a year. You know, you're not going to like trade up and have it subsidized by your phone company. So they're going to buy the one that they're going to have for the next decade.
Podcast altogether, but they're talking that the next consoles from Microsoft and Sony might be subsidized consoles.
That doesn't make any sense. Subsidized to whom?
Live, PS Plus, something like that.
I'm going to leave that dead air as like my complete bafflement and disbelief that anyone would ever pay for that.
I don't know. Let's see if we come back.
Unless they jack up the price of Live, there's no way they're going to make their money back.
If they really are going to have specs that are going to blow the Wii U out of the water, you know what I mean? It's going to be another $600 console generation.
Right.
Unless they're... Because neither Microsoft nor Nintendo can suffer... I mean, nor Sony can suffer a wash like they did with the PlayStation 3. You know, PlayStation 3 is never... It's making a profit now, but the amount of money it eroded from its early years, they're never going to make that up. And Sony's stock just went to junk status, by the way.
Wow, I'm not surprised. Wow. But still, wow.
Mostly because of their TV division and other things. But, you know, so Sony doesn't have the leeway to have a failure system that's sold at a loss. So subsidizing might be the only way you're going to get the like PlayStation 2 to PlayStation 3 power jump, unless they go the Wii U route and make it just slightly more powerful. But oh my gosh, the wailing and gnashing of teeth of hardcore gamers would be.
You've made some very good points. I mean, I don't know about the subsidized thing, but I think you're right on about the price point. And the Wii U is still going to be the cheapest system on the market, even when these other ones hit. So maybe when subsidized is the only way that they can beat Nintendo's price point. That's a really good point. Yeah. I mean, we keep saying point until the word has no meaning anymore. I'm sorry. Hold on. Point. Point. Point.
Cake.
And with that.
I think we're on full circle now, but I think we've raised a lot of controversial points.
Yeah.
Podcast. So
if you have any additional points to make, you should talk to us on our Facebook page, which is Famicom Dojo, cleverly named. Twitter, Famicom Dojo, which we have some followers there, not nearly as many as Facebook, but you can go there and watch us banter with people, I guess. What else can they do? Oh, they can call us 608-492-1923. To leave your thoughts about the show. Tell us if you are going to buy a Wii U at any time before Christmas or even this year at all, or if you're waiting for the price drop, assuming there's going to be one, or just waiting until next year until there's some games you want or whatever else.
Waiting until September to possibly run into me at the store when I'm buying mine.
Which stores? Let's narrow it down to a geographical region. How about a three-state area?
Midwest. It's either going to be Illinois, Minnesota, or Wisconsin.
Maybe in Ontario. No?
I don't know. I don't speak Canadian.
No.
I don't know if I want to. I don't want to buy a third Wii U.
I don't think they have a separate region, do they?
No, they don't.
I think it's all North America. Yeah.
Although anyway. Their VHS tapes were incompatible.
Were they? No. Yeah.
Only the ones purchased in Quebec. I'm not sure, but I know that they were. Were they incompatible? I don't know. Maybe they just were in French.
I think they were just in French. So they're incompatible with your brain.
Incompatible with my knowledge of language. So if you have any comments to make about VHS tapes from Quebec, leave that as well. Since we mentioned the Facebook page in our podcast a couple weeks ago, we've picked up quite a few Facebook friends, and I'm continuing to try to post something every day there, some picture, some something. So with Facebook's changing, also if you're already a Facebook follower of us, leave a like or a comment or something on one of our posts, because rumor has it, as I mentioned last time, if you don't keep up to date with that, Facebook decides that you'd rather hear these ads than the things you like.
And also, last but not least, if you are, or even if you aren't, hearing this podcast through iTunes, please go to our free iTunes storefront, also called Fan Makama Dojo, and rate the podcast and leave a comment to let other people hear this wonderful show. Very similarly to Facebook, that is how iTunes determines popularity. So that is something that you can do to help us out and let others know about our show.
And if you don't like our show, I don't know. That's probably something you should keep to yourself.
Maybe. Possibly. Maybe you can go to the Wii U and let people know about it there. I don't know.
Question before we leave.
Yes.
You going to buy Mass Effect on the Wii U when you get the Wii U?
Out of professional curiosity only. And, well, okay, that and to show that it is a viable platform for BioWare's franchises. Because there are people who are upset that the Mass Effect trilogy isn't coming out for that console. And BioWare's official response was that, well, we don't even know that fans of Mass Effect will buy it for that console. Which is fair to say, because the trilogy is not coming out for the PS3 either. There are ports of 2 and 3 on there, and the original game, which was an Xbox Microsoft Studios game, by the way, so it's amazing it's coming out at all for another console, is going to come to the PlayStation Network. It's a downloadable title. But you got to keep in mind that those games all had to be ported, and they were ported as those sequels came out, more or less, and there has never been a Mass Effect game for a Nintendo system, let alone the Wii or any others. So they would have to do a lot of work to port the trilogy, and so don't be mad at them for just porting the one game that they're going to use as their testbed to make sure that people will buy it. So buy the game if you want BioWare to make more for the Wii U.
Buy it. If you buy it, it's just going to be like what Capcom said. They're like, if you buy these crappy Resident Evil light gun shooters, we'll maybe release a Resident Evil for it. Oh, how? But people bought it. Capcom went, wow, you know what people really like on the Wii? Light gun shooters. Let's make another one.
at least in this case, they actually made Mass Effect 3. And I think I'm going to enjoy the gamepad controls much more than the potentially cinchy Kinect ones for the voice commands. I think that's going to keep the action flowing a lot better without having to pause every few seconds to give your commands, like I have to with my non-Kinect Xbox right now. So I'm sure I'll review it at some point.
Well, I'm looking forward to that review. But EA, I know you're listening. I got to talk to you.
Okay.
EA, I want you to pick up a dictionary right now. I want you to open it up, and I want you to look up self-fulfilling prophecy. Because all you port for it is a glitchy version of the third game of a trilogy, and charge full price for it at the same time that you're charging the same amount of money for a trilogy.
Okay, like I said, though, all those games came out for the 360 already, and they're all $20 already for that system.
I know they are, but when this game bombs, and it's gonna bomb.
You sure? Is it really glitchy?
Well, it's more of that there's no fan base for Wii U. You know what I mean?
That's the problem, right?
But like hardcore gamers have already played the game; they're done with it. And people who were not like, oh wow, I just made the assumption that Wii players are not hardcore gamers. Sorry, well, Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 fans have already played it; they've beat it; they've moved on. The people who didn't play it were the people who went Wii last generation, but they haven't played the first two.
Right.
Why are they going to jump on this one? You know.
Well, I'll give them a reason. How about that? Hopefully, if the review goes well.
Okay, I see what you're saying. But like a full, but if they wanted to build the base, and it would have been very hard to release another game. Release it as like a best hits price, $20. get people hooked on the series.
Oh, there's no chance. Maybe they'll go down in price later, but I don't know.
Square Enix said that they were going to go for the game, you know, to hit the Wii, and they released Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles Crystal Bears, which is, and went, huh, that didn't sell. Guess I'm going to skip mainline Final Fantasies on the system.
Oh, my God. All right. So here's the first potentially positive sign that will occur after the game comes out, is that they will announce more DLC for it. Because what I've heard is that they, except for what's on the disc, they're not going to have any other DLC available. Well, they have to port it. They have to port everything that they're going to release. So
they shouldn't even bother. Like, because what they're going to do is they're going to kill interest in Mass Effect on the system, not bring it up. You know, they're going to have a Mass Effect 4 coming out, you know what I mean? Eventually. So why not make that the new title that hits this system? You know,
they very well may.
Well, then
assuming that it's not for next gen and that when the Wii U can't handle it.
Should be the first one out on the system then. Like, late full, which is arguably not as nice looking as the original, is not the way of going, hey, buy our crap.
Well, you got to think about development cycles too, right? Like, when they were working on this Wii U port, they were making the third game already. So, you know, they probably have like one of their B teams or something off doing the Wii U port, you know, to come out, what is it, like a year after the first game. And sorry, the first version of the port. And then, you know, it would be more work to go back and do the first game or the second game at this point. So,
yeah, I think they're not all in.
Why should they have to be? They've already made their money at the whole thing.
I know, but like, if I'm worried that what's going to happen is EA is going to see, that game didn't sell very well on the Wii U. I guess there's no market for BioWare on the Wii U.
You're so down on them before it's even happened. Let it happen, and then we'll see what happens.
Okay. All right, I know how you feel about BioWare.
I do. And if they don't support the Wii U, I still have my 360.
Yeah. All right. I'll keep it festering inside of me.
Yep, that's where it belongs, deep down where no one else can see it.
But like, you know, EA in general has just been really bad for the Wii, though. Their ports of their sports franchises are lacking a lot of the elements that are in the 360, and I'm scared that EA is doing to the Wii U what they did to the Dreamcast. Now, for the Dreamcast, they didn't support them at all, but for the Wii U, they're just phoning it in.
I mean, okay, do you see any parallels between the people being so down on Nintendo for like not doing HD and then not doing SD, and you being down on EA for not supporting Nintendo, and they're actually trying this time, and you're still down on them for it?
They had better support for the Wii than they do for the Wii U.
Oh, so far. Give it time.
Okay. We people want a Dead Space. Dead Space. We want a Dead Space. Give us a Dead Space.
Yeah, but the Wii can't handle Dead Space.
We could have handled a Dead Space. The iPhone handles Dead Space.
iPhone's more powerful than the Wii, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, the new iPhone, yeah, definitely. But Dead Space worked on a 3G, a 3GS. And that's not more powerful than a Wii. Like, and it was a competent third-person shooter, too. But what did the Wii get? They got Dead Space Extraction, just like Capcom, another third-person light gun shooter, basically. And it didn't sell well. And they went, okay, there's no, this franchise should not be on Wii. And what did they do? They took the game, which they charged full price on the Wii for, a full $50 game, and they put it up on like PSN Network for $10. You know, an enhanced port of it, a better version of it. Sometimes I just feel like they're trolling Nintendo.
All right, I gave you a chance to back out. I'm done.
Okay. All right. I gave you a chance to be right.
Oh, Oh my. I'm having palpitations.
Better podcast we've done. Okay. And you know what? If it play, let's make a bet.
All right.
Okay. What should the stakes be? And
well, what's the bet first?
Okay. Whether this is a it's hard to tell if it was a smart move for BioWare, but like if BioWare through releasing a crappy port of an old title for full price can build a base. Maybe if I phrase it like that, it's not quite fair.
Yeah, it's completely unfair because I don't agree with any of those things.
The terms. Set the terms.
Well, I don't know what you're trying to propose yet. Okay. So the bet is whether or not BioWare is going to be able to ignite a Mass Effect fan base on Nintendo with the game it's proposing. I think it can. I don't know if it will, but I don't think that they're like nerfing themselves on purpose right out of the gate. All right.
Okay.
All right. So here's the bet. They release Mass Effect 3 DLC.
Ooh.
I think they're going to.
So you said earlier that there's no plan right now for it. But
as far as
like,
I know.
If it's successful enough that they'll release DLC.
Yeah, that'll be the first step, I think. And then they might start porting the other games.
Okay. I can go along with that. What's the terms?
Steak dinner? I don't know. You're going to be in America next year.
That's a steak dinner. We're the big boys, aren't we?
Steak dinner and premium beer.
Because when I first heard steak, I'm like, what small steaks a steak dinner? Then I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, man, steak's kind of expensive.
There you go. Not as expensive as Mass Effect 3 on the Wii U, potentially, but depends on where we go, I guess.
All right. All right, I see. So the terms Sean is proposing is if Mass Effect gets DLC, he wants a romantic dinner. Okay.
Yep. Oh, with you. Oh.
But wait, if I win, I get a steak dinner. I figured this out. Either way, you win.
All right, so what should the stakes be then?
Steak. Yes, okay. The steak is steak.
The steak is steak? All right. I will not buy your Wii U for you. That's a little too high of a stake.
And I will...
Okay, how about this? I'll buy a game for you. How about that?
Okay. All right.
What do I get, though?
What do you get?
Yeah.
You get to be the first person ever to prove me wrong.
That's not good enough.
Nor is it true.
That'll be a foregone conclusion. Oh, yes. That's yes, on this very podcast. Vink was wrong.
Yeah, they'll be that. I'll hook you up with some some retro games that you need.
I still don't have a copy of Owen Don 2. That's not comparable to a new Wii U game, mind you. But that's a start.
Okay. I will get you the Owen Don series.
Well, you've already gotten me half the Owen Don series.
Haven't I? All right. I'll wear a funny costume in a video.
That is... Fine, just buy me the steak dinner.
The steaks are steak. Okay. Right. Let's see how that plays out.
All right.
That's it for Famicom Dojo.
That might be it for Famicom Dojo forever.
For Famicom Dojo.
The steak is going to break our budget.
Yes, it will. And if you'd like to contribute towards one of us being able to afford those steaks, keep in mind we have season 1 DVDs available. Check us out.
Yep. Right on FamicomDojo.tv. Look at the show notes where we have the video that we've been talking about linked right there, as well as our previous Wii U podcasts centered around the subject. And yeah. Click on the links that say, hey, buy me. I should probably change the link to make it say that. Sure.
And as I said, things that I mentioned in this podcast, some pictures will be up on our Facebook. Yes.
Sweet. All right. Well, then I guess until next time, kids, dojo is
cake.
Delicious.
Famicom Dojo.